We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everyone, before we get started, I just want to take a moment to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle is created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level, or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to the community Discord, an e-learning course full of tips and tricks, and on top of all of that, we'll help get your show pushed to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or you have an existing show that you're wanting to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode for more information, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield, touchdown, Patrick Mahomes.
This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, joined by Sean Siegel of RotoViz.com. It's always great to get to talk to Sean a couple of times a week to bring you the podcast. And we're into the off-season now. We're really in the thick of it. We're going to be diving into rookie prospects on a regular basis. We're going to be diving into rankings on a regular basis, positional ADP and so on. So lots of stuff to look forward to over the coming weeks. And on today's show is no different. We'll be talking about the Superflex Dynasty rankings up on the website and linking in the 2021 rookies as well to see where they're fitting in and some of Sean's latest rankings as, you know, if we're looking at it from a current draft perspective. So looking forward to that on today's show, Sean. But as we start each and every week, how are you doing this week?
Good. It's fun to be in this part of the season doing lots of FFPC best ball drafts, and the tools are allowing us to get some great values in those drafts. Best ball and dynasty, we've got a lot of content up on the site on both of those topics, as you mentioned, and just getting really excited to start incorporating those rookies in. Blair and I have a lot of rookies, and we have them in the right places. Blair has a great article up on the site about where you need to take rookies in your best ball drafts. Make sure to check that out. But today, like you mentioned, we're going to look at Superflex Dynasty rankings. And the fun part about this is that the 2021 rookies are included. Colm, on the show last week, we talked about an article that Curtis had up discussing how you can win your early startup draft every year by making sure you take enough rookies, that the difference between the number of rookies taken in the top 60 and the top 120 before the draft and after the draft is strikingly different. Those rookies tend to really go up in value. We're going to be looking today where you want to make sure to strike with those early rookie picks to make sure you can both profit from that and just have some of the best players on your team that we know are going to increase in trade value over the next year and a half. A key element for any true dynasty is to make sure you're getting enough trade value on your team. We'll look into that today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be interesting to see if we have any differences, and then maybe if we would take the rookie or the veteran, or how we're going to filter that in. But as we talked about on last week's show, and of course it was on Curtis's piece up on the website, I would highly recommend you go and check that out just to see how those values can be kind of added in. But we'll be talking about it again on today's show as we work our way through the process. Shall we have the contest run over the last couple of weeks, and the two winners of the Dynasty Command Center Rookie Draft Guide on RotoViz are, first up, it is PM Farley 21. He left, he actually messaged me to joke about it. He said that he left a review on Podcast Addict. He said apparently he must be the only person who uses that app, but every single review counts, and he is the winner of that first rookie draft guide. And the second winner is Pip Strell. That's PIPSITREL, unless I might have pronounced that wrong, so I just wanted to spell it to make sure. But the second winner for that review left on iTunes. So as always, we do appreciate each and every single review that is left. It does help us here to grow our audience. We do appreciate each and every one of them. If you haven't already dropped this review, it only takes 5-10 seconds to drop one. You can add in more comments if you want, then after that, you know, spend a minute to drop in some comments. But we do much appreciate it when we get those reviews, and helps us, as I mentioned, to continue to grow both RotoViz over time and RotoViz Radio as a podcast network. So much appreciated. Thank you. And Sean, of course, linking in with that rookie guide, we have the Dynasty rookie rankings, and they're going to be linked in today with the Superflex rankings up on the website. For the listeners, if you're checking out the Superflex rankings up on the website, they are now also tight end premium. You have also the option to check your kind of standard league settings as well to go through those Dynasty rankings. But Sean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun today to look through where the rankings currently sit and how that affects the rookies and where they're filtering in to those, you know, and the decisions that some people drafting at the moment may have to make, whether they go for the veteran or whether they go for the rookie at their current value. So no surprise when we start off a super flex draft that quite a heavy round one for the quarterback position. The guys at the top of the list, no real surprise to anybody in terms of the first five picks. We have Mahomes, Murray, Watson, Lamar Jackson, and then Josh Allen. So pretty straightforward there. I guess then if we look at the first non-quarterbacks, Christian McCaffrey, not a big surprise. Then we have Dak Prescott, Alvin Kamara. I guess somebody who you've talked about on the show that, you know, you're very enthused about, and you were last year, and you wish at times you drafted more of him this time last year. That's Justin Herbert coming in at quarterback 7. I'm guessing for most listeners of the show, although he's not a rookie, but that's probably the first part of these rankings where we may see differentiation between different people's thought process on who they take there. But I'm sure you're pretty strong on him. We have Dalvin Cook, then Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow up next. And then the first rookie that comes into the picture is Trevor Lawrence at the first pick of the second round, which will be the 13th position if we're looking at it from just a straight up rankings perspective. So Trevor Lawrence, we've talked about him in the last couple of shows. There's a lot of you know, exciting things to talk about. Lots of, you know, potential landing spot in Jacksonville. We've talked about the players that we like there at the wide receiver position. We like the running back and James Robinson. A lot of potential to turn that offense around very, very quickly. So he is the first one coming off the board, would be coming in there at quarterback 9. So for you, is that an obvious choice? And I'll just tease this with the listeners. The next two picks after that are Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs. So two players that I know Sean is a big fan of. So I'm just interested in the thoughts of how difficult it would be to take Lawrence at that spot over one of those two wide receivers.
It would be difficult, right? You want to get Justin Jefferson on as many dynasty leagues as humanly possible at this juncture as we go into 2021. I should mention these are my rankings that we're going over today on the site. You can also get Dave's, Blair's, Curtis's. You can look at them together. You can compare them against each other. One of the things that Colm and I are doing right now is looking at the draft grid that displays it, you know, as though it were a draft, which is a nice visual way to look at the different positions and look at how the guys would fall if you're drafting them. So you can do all of those things with the tool. Here I have Lawrence as the first pick in the second round, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Dynasty Startup mock that Sam Wallace and I are doing on Thursday. If you remember the mock without the rookies included, right, we have this very quarterback heavy first round, and then we move to wide receivers in the second, and then a mix of wide receivers and tight ends in the third, as we try to get those foundation pieces for our dynasty, knowing that running backs are going to sort of float through a little bit more. Now, the superstars went in that first round. So we had McCaffrey, we had Cook, we had Barkley, we have Kamara. After them, there's a big gap down to the next group here. If you can start with that 12th position, which is sort of an unfortunate position for anybody to draw in their startup, but you can get Burrow and Lawrence, you could be sitting in a couple years from now with two of the top five or six guys overall, which is a great position to be in. A few weeks ago when we looked at my rookie mock for the first round, just purely a rookie mock, we talked to Trevor Lawrence as the pretty obvious 101 in Superflex, ranked number one by Travis May in his top 100 rookies. In terms of Dave's advanced piece in the rookie guide, he discusses how there are three key metrics for QB evaluation, and Lawrence obviously crushes all of those. When we pull up the box score scout, we can see that his most similar quarterbacks, Andrew Luck, Justin Herbert, and then the aforementioned Burrow. And so looking at those guys gives us a lot of enthusiasm for what he might do. There's a possibility here that Lawrence is the best pure reality QB prospect of all time, which, you know, depending on how much rushing value he could add for you in fantasy, that's the real question in terms of, you know, how high can he push into maybe that top five group. But this, Colm, looks like both a safe pick and an upside pick, definitely one that fits this format. I think that if you start Burrow Lawrence at the turn here, you're going to be in very, very good shape despite having gotten that last pick. Where are you looking at this? Would you prefer to have a Justin Jefferson, a guy we've already seen play in the NFL and could be the wide receiver one for the next decade?
See, that's where it becomes, you know, when we're looking at it in a rankings format, you know, it's fair to have quarterback, quarterback. And then when you get into an actual draft perspective, which is why I like this grid so much, is sometimes you might say, maybe if I start Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, I'm in a better spot than if I start Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. And the reason for that would be when we look then, as we get through this in a little bit, we're going to have guys still in the rookie format like Justin Fields, but you know, it's going to be Trey Lance, Jalen Hurts. I know Aaron Rodgers getting up in years, so probably not the player I'd be targeting in a draft like this, but there's lots of other quarterback options as we do progress, and we have the opportunity to get possibly the number one wide receiver in all of Dynasty on the roster too. So just depends on roster construction. I think it's a fair decision to make. I even think the decision there is to make, do we take Trevor Lawrence ahead of Joe Burrow and maybe then switch it as well. So just depends on overall roster construction. I think there's, like, you made an interesting statement there that he may be the best quarterback, true quarterback prospect of all time, which, you know, we hear names in the past, you know, like an Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning, and we're starting to get into some rarefied air when we talk about those sort of things. So that's just how exciting it is coming into this draft class with somebody like Lawrence. And a lot of the time we see teams that, you know, a quarterback like this going first overall in the draft may land in, and just the talent isn't there to have instant success. But I think as much as the Jacksonville Jaguars can let their supporters down on a yearly basis with their overall record, I think there's a lot of potential in that offense. It is a little bit difficult with somebody like Justin Jefferson. What you really see in that second round is it's packed full of superstar wide receiver talent, which is very exciting, particularly in them kind of first three or four picks with AJ Brown going at wide receiver three as well. So I think, Sean, to your question about going back to back at the quarterback position, you can set yourself up and be quite content as we head over into the next couple of seasons. But there's always that risk with those young quarterbacks, with Burrow coming back off the injury, to maybe go for the wide receiver upside and have that in there as well and get a veteran presence a little bit later at the quarterback position. Going back to back in the first two rounds is probably something I would try and avoid in a dynasty startup, but I have those guys neck and neck, and I would be probably just giving Lawrence maybe the edge over Burrow, even though Burrow's rookie season was super exciting. I just think the unknown of coming back from a serious injury is a concern. If we move further through, Sean, I already mentioned Jefferson and Diggs are the next two guys, and the resurgence of Diggs pre-move to Buffalo versus now in terms of dynasty rankings is quite a thing of beauty. Next up is Jonathan Taylor, who I've had some kind of high praise comments this offseason with him in terms of where I would take him in dynasty leagues. And then we have Russell Wilson. So we started to get into the first kind of, I guess, established veteran, and a lot of concerns around Seattle this offseason with the direction they may go on offense. And I think Russell Wilson's value from the start of the season to the end of the season was quite a change in trajectory based on how good things looked early. AJ Brown is up now next, and he's probably the guy on this list, you know, that I would be potentially pushing up to that one spot. I think it has to be at the moment Justin Jefferson, but AJ Brown's running him very close. We have guys then like Lamb, Higgins, who are obviously heading into their second years. Jamar Chase then is the next rookie up at 22. So I think it's very interesting to have him, then Devontae Adams, then Tyreek Hill. We've talked about the veterans in terms of like an Adams, Hill, then Calvin Ridley next. How do we size up what they've done in their careers versus the potential of the rookies coming in versus also how many years they have left on the clock and how much value can we extract from them in 1 or 2 years on a trade? Very interesting overall in that kind of shuffle of the wide receivers. Breaking those down, Sean, are we still, Adams and Hill are still in there with Ridley? How close is it between the likes of Jamar Chase and those guys, and how hard of a decision, if you're actually on the clock making that call, would it be to take Chase over one of those three?
That, I think, is the interesting thing here. So we have this group of very young wide receivers, and then we have the group of established stars. We know that some of these wide receivers can play well deep into their 20s, early into their 30s, and continue to score a bunch of points. And with Adams and Hill, they're in this situation with elite quarterbacks, good offenses, and target volumes that are going to be very, very high, both in terms of what the upside is and in terms of that target floor. And so you're really looking beyond the next couple of years if you go after Chase here. One of the things, too, that is fun about our rankings is that we don't just have them ranked, we have them rated. So you can go in and see where the natural tier breakdowns occur. For me, I have Lamb, Higgins, Chase, Adams, and Hill with virtually identical score. So it's going to depend a lot on the particular draft, what you're doing and what your goals are in terms of what direction you go. I do like to go for the big play here, though, right? If Chase is as good as we think that he is, I would prefer to have that player as a young 20s player where he's going to have 5, 6, maybe 7 years and still be at a level after that point where you can trade him for peak value. So by going with Chase, you're going after a structure in your draft where the value continues to increase as opposed to decrease. Adams and Hill, they're going to score points for you, but they're going to decrease in value over the next couple of years. Chase, at the same time, when we look at, 2023, for example, could be so far ahead of those guys that it becomes a no-brainer at that point. So the question is, how much risk are you willing to take? One of the things that's both fun and scary about these rookies is that you have a much wider range of outcomes than you have for an established star. When we look at Chase and we think that he's potentially the best wide receiver prospect that we've had in a while, so we go from perhaps the best QB prospect ever to one of the best wide receiver prospects that we've seen come out in the last decade. We compare him to Justin Jefferson, what they did in that 2019 season together. 1780 receiving yards for Chase, 1540 for Jefferson. Yards per reception, 21 for Chase, 14 for Jefferson. Chase with more touchdowns, obviously a larger share of the market share, a larger share both in terms of yards, touchdowns. A younger player at that time, he was a year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Younger in 2019 when they both did that together. When we look at Justin Jefferson as being the wide receiver one and then compare him to a college teammate who was better, we can see the upside. Now, you want to go in with your eyes wide open though, right? Just because someone was good in college, just because someone was better than a teammate who goes on at the NFL level, that transition is different for everyone. Now, I don't think that you're taking a lot of risk with Chase, but you could be giving up some upside, especially if he falls into the wrong situation. So when you're making that pick, you want to be aware of what you're perhaps giving and what you could be getting there when you take that more risky selection than, say, Adams or Hill.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Hey everybody, this is Dave Cabin from the RotoViz flagship podcast, just stopping by to say thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. We're offering our listeners a special 10% discount when they use the promo code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off a one-year subscription when you use the promo code RVRadio2021. Thanks for listening and keep on tuning in.
Yeah, we're only two draft prospects in, but we're already getting pretty excited as we start to talk about these rookies. Next up, I skipped Travis Kelce going in the second round. George Kittle going in the mid second round. Travis Kelce then going at the start of the third round. Next up in the rookie category at quarterback 11 is Justin Fields, and you know, I think there's I just think this is a really exciting quarterback class as a whole. We've had years in the past where, you know, quarterback values get kind of pushed up. They're drafted a lot higher than they should. But I think this year is going to be a year where there's just a lot of good quarterback talent that's going to get drafted. And again, it just depends on landing spot and situation. But I think Justin Fields is another one that there's a lot of potential in terms of having him on your roster. Just interested, Sean, in your thoughts in terms of we kind of we're pretty confident in Trevor Lawrence's landing spot, and I think it's a pretty good one. But again, maybe I'm being a little bit too confident in that. Justin Fields is it's a little bit less kind of predetermined as to the options of where, like, we know where he may end up, but where exactly he could end up based on how this quarterback draft could happen in terms of the order could shuffle. We could see somebody like, you know, Trey Lance or that, you know, push up the board and go ahead of a Justin Fields before the draft is all said and done. So just interested in the value of the quarterback position. It kind of feels like we have a pretty good grasp at the moment on the wide receiver rankings, but the quarterback rankings tend to shuffle quite a bit depending on where you're looking at the moment. So what's your thoughts on the possibility of the quarterback chain, the quarterback order changing?
Yeah, if we have Zach Wilson push up into that number two overall pick, which is where he's going in a ton of mocks, and the NFL draft community seems to really like him as a potentially superior option. If that happens, we're going to see a little bit of a shakeup. Now, fantasy owners tend to be very heavy on Fields, kind of across the community, seeing him as the very clear-cut number two. Part of that is that he has the rushing value, the rushing upside to be sort of a Deshaun Watson type player, maybe even Watson with additional arm talent, that kind of a player. And so there's not a whole lot of debate among fantasy owners. Travis had him number two overall in his top 100 countdown. He had Wilson and Lance in the 20s, which gives you a sense of the big break between those guys. I may be in the middle. I think that Wilson and Lance are very interesting, perhaps especially Lance, who most pundits seem to have in the four slot among those big four right now. Justin Fields, as you mentioned, we don't really know where he's going to go. I don't think that the landing spots are necessarily that bad, especially if he were, for example, to land with the Carolina Panthers. You're then instantly talking about a quarterback who gets to throw to DJ Moore, to Robbie Anderson in an offense that is very creative, has Christian McCaffrey to take off some of the pressure. So there are some upsides if he were to fall down the board. I don't think that you're going to see him move very much. I think the thing that you could see is Wilson really jump if he goes number two overall. Blair and I have been targeting him in best ball drafts when he falls well below his ADP. And again, that's kind of one of the fun things you could take advantage of right now if you're using the command center, is you can see very easily where some of those guys are falling. The quarterbacks like Wilson and Lance, where we really don't know what the NFL is going to do, they have a very wide ADP range as well. So if you can get them on the cheap end of that, I think you should take advantage, because in all likelihood, they're going to rise. They're not going to fall as we look forward. But Fields, someone I think when we look at and talk about the upside, we've mentioned in the past that the other comp of Marcus Mariota, perhaps not as encouraging, but you look at what he's done recently, you look at the physical talent that he has, you look at that mix in terms of profile and what that means for fantasy owners. You know, he's someone else who a year from now could very easily be in that first round. I don't think you're going to want to let him fall much lower than early in the third of a dynasty startup.
Yeah, and I agree in terms of, like, we've talked about this a lot, and Dave Cabin has done some good work on it in terms of, like, how the quarterback position has changed in terms of how points are accumulated, especially with the Russian quarterbacks and the upside that that gives you. And if we look at all the guys that are in that top end and the top five picks, and even Dak Prescott as well, but, you know, you're looking at Mahomes, who rushes quite a bit. You know, it's not the whole element of his game, but he does rush quite a bit. You have Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. And, you know, the rookies coming in out of college and those kind of spread offenses having a chance to rush a little bit more. And you can see that jump being made. And the reason I was asking that is when you're looking at the kind of third pick of the third round, and we're talking about, like, linking it back to Curtis's piece, where you're going to have that kind of little bit of spike in value after the draft. You mentioned the Carolina Panthers. Like, I think we would definitely have a spike in ADP after the draft if that was the landing spot. But we can also look to 1 year down the line when the jump occurs. Like, we can look at, like, Jalen Hurts from last year, and he's going in the mid fourth round when we look at the rankings of this draft, and we can see how quick, you know, it's very unlikely that rookie quarterback is going to lose value. You know, depending on landing spot, it might be a case where he sits behind a veteran for a year, but still the value will certainly be there in the market even the following season. So Very, very interesting to see where these quarterbacks all actually do land. But just as I mentioned already, a lot of exciting talent in this class. Somebody who we were excited about, Sean, for the majority of last season, all last offseason, was Brandon Ayuk. He's coming in that early third round range. Next up, though, in terms of rookies, is Travis Etienne. And he's going currently in this this ranking system that you have as the running back six. So we're getting into that early territory. But when we think back to last year with how the running backs were drafted, we had a few people pushing into that higher end, and that mainly Jonathan Taylor was pushing towards running back three or four in terms of the rankings. But how realistic is it that we see him? There's such a gap between him and Taylor at the current moment. Do you think there's any chance that they get close? I think Taylor should be pretty close to a first round pick, and even in Superflex dynasty. But do you think that, depending on landing spot, Etienne could get close to him?
I don't know if they can get that high, because Taylor finished on such a streak, and we know that he's such a phenomenal talent. We saw him catch a few passes to go along with this breakaway ability that he has. As you mentioned, you've had Taylor even higher than I do, where I traded up to take him in the first round of some startups last year. That's how high I was on him. Just for anyone who wasn't part of our draft coverage last year, to give a little bit of context, I mean, he scored a 100 in our running back prospect lab. That's the top score that you can get. That puts him right up there with the superstars like Christian McCaffrey. I think that he's going to take that next step in 2021. You know, very likely that you're going to want him above one of the big four that I mentioned as being a first round pick. Etienne, though, I do have sixth. I think that he's the next running back that comes in here. I have him ahead of that next group of second year players in Swift, Akers, Gibson, Dobbins, those guys. I felt like if Etienne had come out a year ago, that he was the one guy that really pushed Taylor in terms of talent. And he brings the profile to the NFL that I really love, right? He's got that breakaway speed. I want my running backs to be able to score on any given play, right? You want to have that big play potential so that you don't need the 25 carries a game in order to grind it out 3 yards at a time. And then you want that receiving ability. We talked about Blair's article in the rookie guide, looking at the things that you needed to see from a running back to really believe they were going to be an NFL star. That high level of receiving yards per game came out and was one of the main metrics. I don't think that surprises anyone with the way that running backs score points. I'm going to have an article in the next week or so looking at the upside for different profiles, the likelihood of players from different profiles to be an RB1. And I don't think it comes as a surprise to anyone that receiving element is crucially important. You look at his 2019 season, 37 receptions for 432 yards, and then coming back last year in 12 games, catching 48 passes, going for 588 yards. I think he's the guy that can be the next Alvin Kamara. He's probably more athletic, even more ability to take it on one play and score. Now, the thing that can really foul up the works for these running backs, I think even more than any other position, is just the offense that they go into. And so if he lands in a somewhat bad situation, which is frankly what we got from Dobbins, Akers, Swift last year, then that could slow him down a little bit. At the same time, his value is going to continue to rise. We look at what happened with those rookie running backs last year, and it was frustrating, and yet who do we want for our 2021 redraft teams even? You know, we want those guys. We want Swift. We want Akers. We want Dobbins. And so even if he gets in a bad situation, I think he's going to flourish. If he lands in one of these top situations, then, you know, he could challenge to be a first, second round turn pick in redraft this year. So if you have a chance to get him early, take it. We sort of grilled Travis on this when he was on the show a couple weeks ago. He had Etienne above Ja'Marr Chase. And while I still have Chase up there, you know, I think it's a realistic conversation to have. I mean, you want to get this guy on every team that you possibly can.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, Sean, that you mentioned DeAndre Swift, Cam Akers, and J.K. Dobbins. They're actually three of the next four running backs over the next kind of round and a half that go in the running back position. And the other one in there is Antonio Gibson. So they're all in that kind of category of we've seen flashes, but we're expecting more, but is more going to come based on the situation? And like they're those prospects that you go from like the ceiling is high, but there is also the possibility that there's another running back drafted in some of those scenarios. So it's an interesting area. The next part that I'm going to say is that the wide receivers are quite similar in terms of what the question marks are around them. Now, obviously, DK Metcalf, we're super excited about what he's going to do. DeAndre Hopkins falls into that veteran category like Helen Adams. Then we have the young rookie coming in Devonta Smith. We also have Michael Thomas as a veteran. We have DJ Moore, who we're unsure of the quarterback position at the moment. We have Terry McLaurin, who we're unsure of the quarterback position at the moment. So we have a lot of players who we really like, but there's a lot of question marks around the surrounding areas around them. So the reason I bring up all those in one batch is we do have at wide receiver 14 Devonta Smith in there, and that there makes it a little bit intriguing as to the decision making process if we're looking at wide receiver only for somebody like Metcalf, Hopkins, Claypool, Smith, Thomas, DJ Moore, and Terry McLaurin. Smith is a very exciting prospect, and you know, as we get closer to the draft, we're going to continue to talk about the reasons for that excitement. Could be a difficult decision for somebody on the clock at the moment in terms of making that call and going for the veteran or the rookie, but as we talked about and Curtis mentioned in his article, I think there's a chance here that Smith takes that jump forward, and we could be seeing him kind of pushing towards the Metcalf range come post draft.
Yeah, and I have him ahead of Michael Thomas, which is already a very aggressive move right here. He falls just after Chase Claypool, someone who had a fantastic rookie season and could be this next year's DK Metcalf. So those are high expectations for Smith. I think anybody who watched him in the college football playoffs understands why that enthusiasm is there. We have some of the smaller wide receivers who are still almost impossible to guard. You know, he could be a more talented version of Calvin Ridley. And we say that with Ridley coming off really a fantastic season in 2020, where he established himself as, you know, one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL. One of my favorite wide receiver metrics is Travis Mays' adjusted production index. And the cool part about this, again, is that it marries the peak adjusted dominator rating with a yards and team and touchdowns per attempt stat, and it gives us just a really well-rounded look at context-adjusted production. Smith finishes with a 99th percentile score, right? Just one of the craziest scores that you're going to ever see. That sort of underlines, you know, why he would have been the first Heisman winner at wide receiver since, you know, Desmond Howard arguably in 1991 and Tim Brown in 1987. We've talked a little bit about the red flags that he has there at Alabama, being a senior, being a player who splits time in this fantastic offense with other first round picks at the position. But that 99th percentile API really answers the questions for me. We know that players who come back and play as seniors, play as old players against younger competition and have that NFL talent and the college experience, they tend to destroy their younger peers and give a little bit of a skewed picture of just what they would be as an NFL player. These seniors who come back, they tend to underperform players taken even a round later in the NFL draft. So we want to be aware of the fact that maybe this isn't quite as clear-cut as it seems. But with Smith, you have this player who just does so many things well, you know, has the speed to catch it and go, and is probably going to be a top 10 pick. I mean, you can see some mocks where maybe he falls down a little bit, occasionally even falling below, again, his teammate in Waddle there. But I think he's going to go in the top 10. I think he's going to get a ton of early opportunity. If he struggles at all, you could probably still get back out of him at a price that's even higher than what you paid. And that's really what we're looking for when we make these picks, is how can we take a guy where if he plays well, he's going to keep rising in terms of the price. And if he has a little bit of a struggle, he probably stays the same or even rises. And, you know, you can argue about whether or not that's the case with Smith. Maybe if he struggles too much, then people are going to instantly say, okay, well, it was the Alabama offense. He's an old dude. You know, he benefited from being able to have that experience against younger guys. And he does actually lose a little bit of value. You know, if Michael Thomas comes out and has a Michael Thomas type of season and Smith comes out and struggles, then you're going to look at that and be like, well, you know, obviously I wish I had Michael Thomas, but I think the risk reward profile here for Smith is very promising in terms of not only what he can give you, but what he represents in a trade.
Yeah, I think so as well. And when we look at it, Sean, we're gonna wrap it up there for today's show. We will be diving into a lot more prospect talk over the next couple of weeks and months. And just for a tease for the listeners, if you are checking it out on the rankings, check out Sean's rankings, and then you can switch it over to the draft grid view and you'll be able to break it down. But in that next four rounds, there is nine more rookies going. So there's a lot of rookies to be excited about in this year's class. But just to see where Sean is sprinkling them in among those veterans and some of the decisions that you might want to be making. Even if you're not drafting at the moment, or you're thinking about drafting later this offseason, or you just want to see the valuation of maybe some of the rookies versus the veterans, you can slot it in there and see, because there will be some of these guys that I know I'd be getting DMs on Twitter and emails to say, who is Sean thinking about as being, you know, this year's Brandon Ayuk as an example is one I get quite a bit, Sean. And, you know, if we look at these now, you might see like a rookie here or a veteran that Sean is quite bullish on heading into this upcoming season might help give you a little bit of an early kickstart on those trade attempts as you get ready for the season. So check that out up on the site. I think it's a really valuable way to spend some time diving into those rankings. As always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass as well to get access to all of the content and tools up on the website. All you have to do is add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. You can go to rotoviz.com/podcast for additional information. Help set you up for this draft season and get ready for the 2021 NFL season. It seems like a long way away, but it'll not be too long before we're really getting ready for those games in week one rolls around very quick. We have a lot to cover in between though with the draft, you know, free agency and so on, and looking forward to bringing you shows throughout the off season. As always, my name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at OverTomorrow. My co-host is Sean Siegel, and you can check out all of Sean's great work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back on Thursday's podcast with another one, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.